So you're staring at this like huge wall of VPS hosting options, right? And every provider's throwing terms around vCores, IOPS, promising the world.
Yeah, lightning speed, ultimate reliability.
It's enough to make your head spin before you even, you know, hit compare plans.
It really is. It's classic information overload.
Yeah.
Just the sheer number of choices, plus all that technical jargon. It's tough if you're just trying to get your website or your app, maybe a game server, online.
Exactly. And that's what we're diving deep into today. We're going to try and cut through that. Forget wading through endless spec sheets.
Okay.
We've got a really solid article here that breaks down what you actually need to understand to make the right VPS choice for you.
Think of this as your personal shortcut. We've basically pulled out the crucial bits, the things that really matter.
The needle movers.
Exactly. So you can confidently pick a VPS without feeling like you need, I don't know, a degree in server admin first.
Right. Our mission is pretty simple. Cut the marketing fluff, get to the core factors. What's going to make the best VPS hosting for your specific needs?
Okay.
We're going under the hood, looking at everything from like processing power, all the way to, well, can you even trust the provider? Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's start with the engine, right? The technical stuff. What's actually powering your VPS?
Mm-hmm.
And at the heart of it, you've got the CPU, the server's brain, and the RAM. It's short-term memory.
Exactly. And the article really hammers this home. These are what make sure your server runs smoothly, especially when things get busy.
Right.
Think about an e-commerce site during a massive sale or, you know, a popular game server just packed with players. They need serious muscle.
Uh-huh. Whereas a simple blog, not nearly as much demand there.
Right.
So applications with more complex tasks or just higher traffic, they're going to need more CPU cores, more RAM, just to stop things from slowing down or, worse, crashing.
Okay, makes sense.
Then you've got storage. And this is where the type of storage makes a, well, a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking traditional HDDs or the much faster SSDs?
Yeah, the old spinning disks versus the solid state drives. The article's pretty clear here. SSDs, if you can swing it budget-wise, go for SSDs.
Definitely.
Because those few extra seconds of loading time, they're not just annoying for your visitors. Yeah. Search engines like Google actually ding you for slow loading sites and rankings.
That's a great point.
So SSDs aren't just about speed, it's also about visibility. And I mean, let's be honest, for gamers, faster loading, better responsiveness, that can literally be the difference between winning and losing.
Yeah, and it's fascinating how directly the article connects SSDs to that overall performance and user satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's the random access speed of SSDs. That's the key. It dramatically improves how responsive the server feels.
Right. For everything, basically. Quickly getting database info for a website.
Uh-huh. Or giving you that lag-free experience in an online game.
Yeah.
Crucial.
Okay, next up. Bandwidth and network. This is basically the pipe, right? How much data can flow in and out of your server each month?
Pretty much.
So a high traffic website, lots of images, maybe videos, needs a much bigger pipe than, say, a text-based blog.
Absolutely. And for those real-time things, like online games, it's not just the size of the pipe, it's the latency. How quickly that data travels, that's just as vital.
Yeah, latency, ping times.
Exactly. Oh, a data center closer to where your users actually are means lower ping times. And that's like gold dust for gamers.
For sure. And not enough bandwidth means slow performance, maybe even nasty overage charges. Nobody wants that.
Nope. And like the article says, that physical location of the data center, it really can significantly impact latency. It directly affects how responsive things feel to your users.
Okay. Then we've got uptime guarantees. I mean, obviously, you don't want your website or app just disappearing off the internet.
Right. That's kind of the point.
The article emphasizes going for at least 99.9% uptime, or even better if you can find it. And it brings up SLA's service level agreements. These are like a promise, aren't they?
Essentially, yes. It's the provider putting their money where their mouth is.
If they guarantee, say, 99.9% uptime and fail to deliver, that SLA might mean you get some money back or maybe a credit on your account. Shows they're confident, right?
Absolutely. That uptime percentage really shows their commitment to keeping things running. 99.9% doesn't sound like much difference from 100%, but it translates to very little downtime over a year.
Uh-huh.
And having that SLA provides accountability.
Okay, now this next bit. It got a bit technical for me at first. Virtualization types. We're talking hypervisor versus container.
Yeah, things like KVM and OpenVZ.
Right. And the article seems to lean towards KVM. Says it's generally better for stronger isolation, and wider compatibility with operating systems, including Windows.
This is actually a really important distinction. It affects the stability and security of your VPS. Think of KVM like having your own dedicated apartment. Oh. What your neighbor does, you know, running heavy apps, it doesn't really affect your resources or performance. You're isolated.
Gotcha.
OpenVZ, on the other hand, is a bit more like sharing a house. Everyone's drawing from the same pool of resources, so you could potentially get that noisy neighbor effect if someone else is using way more than their fair share.
Okay. That makes sense. And speaking of operating systems, the article stresses making sure the VPS actually supports the OS you need.
Crucial.
Whether that's Linux, which seems to be more common and maybe more cost-effective.
Often, yes.
Or Windows, which you might need if you're using specific Microsoft stuff like .NET.
Exactly. Linux gives you a lot of flexibility, huge ecosystem of open source software, which helps keep the cost down.
Right.
Windows Server, though, because it's proprietary, it comes with licensing fees.
Yeah.
And that will definitely impact the overall price. You absolutely need to factor that into your budget, depending on what software you need to run.
Good point. And a key reminder there, those Windows Server licenses can add a significant chunk to your monthly bill. Don't forget about that.
Definitely not.
Finally, on the technical side, just some extra pointers from the article. Pay attention to the number of CPU cores. Look for newer, faster storage tech, like NVMe SSDs, if possible.
Which are even faster than standard SSDs.
Right. And again, remember that data center location. It really impacts latency. These are kind of the finer details that can really squeeze the best performance out of your VPS.
Totally. These technical tips are all about maximizing what you get for your money within whatever plan you choose. Newer hardware, a smart data center choice. They can make a noticeable difference, especially for demanding apps or if your users are spread out geographically.
Okay, let's shift focus a bit. We've looked at the engine, the parts inside, but just as important as what's in the box is who's running the show, right? Are they reliable?
Absolutely fundamental.
So let's dive into these trust and reliability factors, starting with, well, reputation and customer reviews. Seems like basic common sense, doesn't it? Do your homework.
It does, but it's so important. You need to look beyond the flashy marketing on their website. A hosting provider's track record really does speak volumes. Independent reviews, testimonials from actual users, they can give you invaluable insight into their real-world performance.
Yeah, like what's their uptime really like? How good is their support when something actually breaks?
Exactly. And the article wisely suggests maybe even testing their support before you commit. Send them a pre-sales question, see how fast and how well they respond.
That's smart advice. And tied closely to that are the SLAs and uptime commitments. Again, we touched on uptime, but the article really comes back to it. A clear SLA, especially one with a high guarantee like 99.99%, that shows the provider is confident in their infrastructure.
It does. And knowing there are potential credits or compensation if they don't meet those guarantees offers some peace of mind.
Definitely.
A really robust SLA is, you know, a hallmark of a mature, dependable provider. It sets clear expectations, not just for uptime, but maybe also for network performance, support response times. It gives you some recourse if things go wrong.
And when things do inevitably go wrong, because let's face it, tech issues happen.
They do.
You absolutely need reliable customer support. The article stresses needing 24/7 availability and a team that actually knows what they're talking about, especially if you're running something critical.
Couldn't agree more. Responsive, technically competent support is absolutely critical, especially if you're maybe not super technical yourself.
Right.
Being able to get timely, helpful assistance when you hit a snag can save you so much time and, frankly, frustration.
Totally. The article even suggests, like you said, reaching out with pre-sales questions just to gauge their responsiveness before you sign up.
Good tactic.
Then there's the physical stuff, the data center itself. The article explains how the robustness of these facilities, things like backup power, redundant network connections, directly impacts how reliable your VPS is.
It's the foundation.
It mentions Tier 3 and Tier 4 certifications as good indicators of high standards. Plus, things like security and compliance certifications, SOC2, ISO 27001, those are a good sign, especially if you're handling sensitive data.
Absolutely. The data center is the bedrock. Redundancy in power, cooling, network. That's what ensures continuous operation, even if there's a hardware failure or, you know, a power outage in the area. Those tier certifications give you a standardized way to judge that reliability.
And finally, on the trust front, the article emphasizes company transparency, things like clear terms of service.
easy to understand privacy policies.
Right. Even things like money back guarantees or trial periods. They can be signs of a trustworthy provider, someone confident in their service.
Transparency builds that crucial trust. Clear policies, guarantees. It shows they stand behind their product.
And it's a good reminder too, be aware of potential hidden fees. Read the fine print. And know where your data is actually going to be physically located that can matter for data protection laws.
Definitely. Understanding the legal jurisdiction where your data lives can be really important for privacy and compliance reasons.
All right, so you've got a handle on the tech specs. You know how to suss out a provider's reliability. Now comes the really crucial part, figuring out what you actually need.
Yes, the self-assessment phase.
The article spends a good chunk of time on this, understanding your requirements, planning ahead. First things first, what are you actually planning to do with this VTS?
Yeah, is it just hosting a blog, running a busy e-commerce site, deploying a web app, hosting a game server?
Because that specific use case is going to heavily influence what resources you need.
Absolutely. This is the absolute starting point. Clearly defining the purpose, listing the specific software you plan to run that dictates everything. CPU, memory needs, the OS choice.
A simple personal blog has totally different demands than, say, a resource-hungry multiplayer game server.
Worlds apart.
Okay. So once you know what you're doing, you need to try and estimate your traffic and the resources that traffic will use.
Right. How many visitors? Concurrent users. If it's a game, how many players do you expect?
And the article wisely advises planning not just for right now, but also for future growth. Like, try to project your traffic maybe 6 to 12 months out.
Uh-huh. And also plan for potential spikes in demand, like a big marketing push or a seasonal event.
Good point.
Accurate forecasting, even if it's, you know, an educated guess, is so crucial for avoiding performance bottlenecks later on as your project grows.
Yeah.
It's always better to have a little extra headroom than to suddenly find your server choking when you get popular.
Nobody wants that. Okay, then comes matching your performance needs to the actual VPS specs. The article gives a really helpful example with game servers.
Yeah, I saw that.
Pointing out that demanding games like ARK or Rust need significantly more RAM than simpler games. Even Minecraft benefits from a good chunk of memory.
Right, and it highlights checking the official specs from the game or software developers themselves. Don't just guess.
Good advice. And also considering the CPU's clock speed for apps that rely heavily on just one processing core.
That's a more nuanced point, yeah.
Yeah.
Not all tasks spread nicely across multiple cores, so sometimes raw speed on one core matters more.
And faster storage, like those NVMe SSDs we mentioned, is a major plus for anything involving databases.
Definitely speeds up database queries. The article is spot on there. Different apps have very different appetites for resources. Game servers often have quite specific, often high requirements. Exceeding the minimum specs is usually a good idea for a smooth experience.
Finally, on planning, the article stresses scalability. Super important. You want a provider that makes it relatively easy to upgrade your resources later.
Without causing chaos.
Exactly. Like adding more CPU, RAM, or storage without major disruptions or lengthy downtime. It's the difference between a quick, seamless upgrade and, well, a painful server migration.
Huge difference.
And if you're really anticipating big growth, they also mention strategies like load balancing, maybe spreading your app across multiple VPS instances.
Yeah, horizontal scaling. Scalability is crucial future-proofing. Choosing a provider with easy upgrades means your VPS can grow with your project without needing major surgery or long outages. And those advanced techniques like load balancing offer even more flexibility for really big fluctuating traffic.
Okay, let's talk money. Budgeting and pricing. The article has some really practical tips here. First up, managed versus unmanaged VPS. Big decision.
Huge. This really changes your experience.
With managed, the provider handles a lot of the technical upkeep, right? Patching, configuration. It's easier, but it costs more.
Correct.
Unmanaged is cheaper, but all that server management stuff, that's on you.
Yep. You're the sysadmin.
So the advice seems to be, if you're new to VPS or maybe just too busy to deal with the tech side, managed might be worth the extra cash.
It buys you peace of mind and time.
But if you're technically savvy, you like having control, and you want to save some money, unmanaged could be the way to go.
It really boils down to that trade-off. Convenience versus cost and control. Managed is like having tech support on speed dial. Unmanaged means you need the skills or the willingness to learn them.
Then there's the billing structure, hourly versus monthly.
Another important choice.
Hourly seems great for short-term projects, maybe testing things out or workloads that vary a lot. Spin servers up, shut them down as needed.
Super flexible.
Monthly is more traditional. Better for services that need to be always on makes budgeting more predictable. The article notes that for continuous use, monthly usually ends up being cheaper overall.
Yeah, the hourly rate usually translates to a higher monthly cost if you run it 24/7. So the billing cycle should really match how you plan to use the VPS. Hourly for temporary or variable needs, monthly for predictable ongoing stuff. Understand the difference and pick what fits.
And here's a really critical point they make. Understanding the total pricing. Being aware of potential hidden costs.
Ah, yes, the fine print.
The article warns about those super low advertised prices. They might not include essentials like a control panel you actually like using.
Or automated backups.
Or decent support. And it also reminds us about introductory pricing. That cheap rate might jump way up when you renew.
Very common tactic.
And again, Windows VPS plans cost more because of licensing. So the takeaway is, look beyond the sticker price. Consider the overall value.
That's exactly. Performance, reliability, support. Factor it all in. The article even mentions, like, a $7 VPS versus an $11 one. The slightly pricier one might actually be much better value if the support and reliability are way better.
Right. You need to compare the total package. What are you actually getting for your money?
Careful comparison is key.
Yeah.
The absolute lowest price isn't always the best deal long term. Factor in add-ons, renewal rates, support quality.
Okay, what about long-term contracts? Sometimes you get discounts, right?
You often do, yeah.
Yeah.
Annual or multi-year plans can save money.
But the article wisely cautions against locking yourself in for a long time without really doing your homework first. Maybe test the service month to month initially.
Very prudent advice. Start monthly, see if they meet your needs, then consider a longer term if it saves money and you're happy. Don't commit for a year up front unless you're really sure.
And definitely check the refund policy if you do go for a longer commitment, just in case.
Always know your exit strategy. While those discounts look good, make sure the service lives up to expectations before you're locked in. A monthly trial, if they offer one, is a great low-risk way to test the waters.
Finally, on pricing, the article touches on scalable pricing versus fixed plans.
Right, like cloud billing versus traditional tiers.
A lot of cloud UPS providers let you pay for exactly the resources you use, CPU, RAM, stored, and scale them individually.
Pay-as-you-go style.
Fixed plans give you a set bundle of resources for a flat monthly fee, which might be fine if your needs are predictable.
Uh-huh.
But if your needs are uneven, like you need tons of storage but not much CPU, that flexible pay-as-you-go model could actually be cheaper.
Potentially, yes. If only one resource is your bottleneck, just scaling that one thing can be more cost-effective than jumping to a whole new fixed tier.
Good point. And don't forget bandwidth. Carefully check their policies on usage and especially potential overage charges. Those can bite you.
Oh, yeah. Understanding how flexible the pricing is helps you optimize costs as you grow. And being crystal clear on how they bill for extra usage, especially bandwidth, avoids nasty surprises on your invoice.
Okay, let's switch gears to something absolutely vital. Security. Keeping your data, your applications, safe.
Non-negotiable.
The article dedicates a section to essential security features. First up, network security. Things like firewalls and DDoS protection.
Your first line of defense.
A good provider should offer some kind of network-level firewall to filter out nasty traffic. And DDoS protection is becoming so important, especially if you're hosting anything public like a game server.
Definitely. Game servers are huge targets.
So make sure you can configure your own firewall rules and look for providers that explicitly mention DDoS mitigation. That's a big plus.
Right. Network security forms that initial barrier. Firewalls control traffic flow, let the good stuff in, block the bad. And DDoS protection keeps your server online during those nasty denial of service attacks, which can just cripple online services.
Then backups and snapshots. The article basically says, this is critical. Don't mess this up.
Seriously. Cannot stress this enough.
You need a reliable backup system. How often are backups done? How long are they kept? Where are they stored? Ideally offsite, right? For disaster recovery.
Absolutely. Offsite is key.
And how easy is it to actually restore from a backup if you need to? Also, those one-click snapshot features, huge benefit for quickly rolling back if something goes wrong.
Snapshots are fantastic for quick reverts, yeah. The bottom line here is, data loss can be catastrophic, so a robust, reliable backup and recovery system is fundamental. Automated backups, offsite storage, simple restoration. Those are signs of a trustworthy provider. Don't overlook this.
Okay. Then access controls and user management. With a VPS, you often get full root or administrator access.
Which is a great power.
But comes with great responsibility. You need careful security practices. The article mentions using secure methods like SSH keys instead of just passwords.
Much more secure.
using two-factor authentication for an extra layer, and setting up role-based access if you have a team managing the server.
Good practice for teams, yeah. Limit who can do what.
And a basic but vital tip, change any default passwords immediately. Use strong, unique credentials everywhere.
Please, yes.
Yeah.
Don't use password 123. Secure access controls are paramount. Strong authentication like SSH keys, 2FA, managing user permissions carefully. These are essential security basics for any VPS.
Finally, the article highlights some nice-to-have extra security features, like free SSL certificates for encrypting website traffic.
Increasingly standard, but good to check.
Regular security audits run by the provider themselves. Proactive monitoring services that can alert you to potential trouble.
All good signs of a security-conscious host.
And a key technical point, secure virtualization. Making sure your VPS instance is properly isolated from other users on the same physical machine.
Very important. Prevents one compromised VPS from affecting others.
And depending on what you're doing, compliance with standards like PCI DSS for payments or Hyper-A for health info might be absolutely critical.
Absolutely. If you handle that kind of data, compliance isn't optional. These additional features all contribute to a more secure environment overall.
Okay, so after drilling down into the tech, the trust factors, figuring out your needs, budget, security, the article actually wraps up by recommending a few specific VPS providers.
Ah, the candidates.
Yeah, let's quickly run through what they highlighted. First is MonoVM, described as a growing provider, lots of data centers, globally 35-plus locations, uses KVM virtualization.
Okay, global reach, KVM. Good points.
Offers full root access, Linux and Windows options, scalable plans, and apparently has good support. Noted it's having a large customer base, too.
Sounds like a solid all-rounder. That global presence and KVM are definite pluses. Scalability and support focus are good signs.
Next up, DigitalOcean, positioned as very developer-friendly. Strong 99.99% uptime SLA.
That's a high guarantee.
Known for a clean interface, good API, easy one-click installs for apps, plus snapshots and backups. But the article notes it's largely unmanaged.
Right, so you need some tech skills.
And support is mainly ticket-based.
Okay, so popular with developers, great uptime, but you're mostly on your own for management. That fits a certain type of user very well.
Then there's Hostinger, highlighted as affordable, user-friendly, 99.9% uptime guarantee. Has an intuitive custom control panel.
Sounds more beginner-friendly.
Seems like it. Well-suited for people hosting WordPress sites or web apps that need more power than basic shared hosting. Offers 24/7 live chat support.
Live chat is nice.
Although it notes complex issues might still need some self-troubleshooting.
Okay, so Hostinger looks like a good budget-conscious entry point. User-friendly interface makes it accessible, especially for website hosting. Good value, perhaps?
Then Liquid Web. Presented as a premium, fully managed provider.
Ah, the other end of the spectrum.
High-end specs NVMe SSDs, generous 10 TB bandwidth, and a very strong 100% network and power uptime SLA.
Wow, 100% SLA, that's confidence.
They emphasize advanced security features and renowned support, phone, chat, email. Positioned as ideal for business-critical applications needing top-tier reliability and support.
Right. Liquid Web is definitely targeting the high-end market. Fully managed, premium performance, robust security, top-notch support. If your application absolutely cannot go down and you want someone else handling the server management, they sound like a strong contender, albeit likely pricier.
Finally, Vultr. Described as a cloud VPS provider, big global footprint, 14 countries, also offers a 100% uptime guarantee with compensation.
Another 100% guarantee. Interesting.
They highlight fast SSD instances, high-frequency CPU options, developer-friendly platform with one-click apps, easy control panel.
Sounds a bit like DigitalOcean in some ways.
Seems similar in targeting developers, maybe. But they also specifically mention pre-configured setups for game servers.
Oh, that's useful. Specific game server presets. So Vultr offers a powerful global platform. Mm-hmm. Focus on performance, developer tools, and that specific nod to game servers makes them interesting, especially with the 100% uptime promise.
So there you have it, a run through of some options. Ultimately, choosing the right VPS really does seem to come down to finding that balance, doesn't it?
It really does. Your specific tech needs, how much you trust the provider, and what your budget allows.
It's about really understanding your own requirements first.
Absolutely.
And then carefully evaluating potential providers using all these criteria we've talked about. The specs, the reliability, the support quality, the pricing transparency.
Exactly. Moving beyond the marketing hype and looking at the complete picture.
And hopefully, this deep dive has given you, the listener, a solid framework for navigating those choices, and maybe a helpful starting point with those providers the article mentioned.
Yeah, we hope this discussion has empowered you to tackle the VPS selection process with more clarity, more confidence, to cut through that jargon and focus on what really matters for your specific situation.
Okay, so for a final thought to chew on as you go away from this, consider this. What is the single most critical must-have feature for your ideal VPS?
Ooh, good question.
Is it absolutely rock-solid uptime above all else? Is it blazing fast performance for a really demanding application? Or is it maybe having that readily available, hands-on managed support?
Yeah, what's your non-negotiable?
Think about that one thing you absolutely cannot compromise on and how that might steer you towards one type of provider, maybe even one of those we discussed, over another. Happy hosting.
And we'll catch you on the next deep dive.